Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 21st March 2019. This came to you as part of Thursday Live programs of Radio Sai, and it was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu Prushti. Have a listen, please.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom, our series where we bring you bhajans which used to be sung in the divine presence of Bhagwan in the 60s and 70s. Today we have a bhajan which adores Lord Ganesha. This is a simple bhajan, beautiful bhajan, not sung very often in Prashanthi Nilayam, and it has that vintage feel. So this is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Hari Sri Ganapati Om.
So Brother Srinivasulu and Brother Anirudh will now teach us the bhajan. And before we go on learning about how to sing this bhajan, discussing the raga of the bhajan, the beat of the bhajan and the meaning of every word of this bhajan, let's get started with the lyrics.
Hari Sri Ganapati Om. Hare Ganapati Om, Vishwadhara Vigna Vinashaka Veera Ganapati Om. Hare Ganapati Om, Veera Ganapati Om, Om, Om.
Now that we are familiar with the lyrics, here is how this bhajan should be sung. Brother Srinivasulu will now give us a slow demonstration.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale A Pancham.
Hari Sri Ganapati Om.
Hari Sri Ganapati Om.
Hari Sri Ganapati Om.
Hari Sri Ganapati Om.
Hare Ganapati Om.
Hare Ganapati Om.
Hare Ganapati Om.
Hare Ganapati Om.
Vishwadhara Vigna Vinashaka.
Vishwadhara Vigna Vinashaka.
Vishwadhara Vigna Vinashaka.
Vishwadhara Vigna Vinashaka.
Veera Ganapati Om.
Veera Ganapati Om.
Veera Ganapati Om.
Veera Ganapati Om.
Hare Ganapati Om.
Hare Ganapati Om.
Hare Ganapati Om.
Hare Ganapati Om.
Veera Ganapati Om.
Veera Ganapati Om.
Veera Ganapati Om.
Veera Ganapati Om.
Hari Sri Ganapati Om.
So that's the vibrant Ganesha bhajan. Brother Srinivasulu gave us a demonstration of the tune. And now let us learn a little more about the composition. what is the raga it belongs to, and what are the swaras that make this bhajan. Anirudh is here to share with us his insights on this bhajan. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the raga on which is this bhajan based?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
This simple Ganesha bhajan is based on, I can say, Shankarabharanam. It has a Shankarabharanam flavor to it, that is Bilawal in the Hindustani classical music. And but some of the phrases in this bhajan are very interesting.
Pada sari ga jari ma ga sa sa ni,
with the addition of komal ni also. So it has some phrases taken from the mixture of ragas, like
pada sari ga ma ga,
that is something like a jinjoti flavor. And
sari ni ni,
komal ni is coming, so that leads to like Hari Kamboji in the Carnatic classical music. It's a very simple namavali, more or less based on Shankaravarnam, I can say, because all the notes are shuddh, and any line you take, not more than 4 notes it travels. So it's like
Hari Magari Sa Sa Sari Gama,
you have 4 notes, and
Pada Sari Ga,
4 to 5 notes maximum. So it's very tough to confine to one raga. Overall, we can classify it as maybe Shankaravarnam or Bilawal.
And it's pretty simple to learn, yeah, and sing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's a very simple bhajan. And I remember hearing from Mr. Krishnadas Eradi this bhajan rendition.
Yes.
I used to listen to this bhajan from him first, and then only I learned from Srinivasulu, sir. And of course, it has a vintage flavor in it.
Absolutely.
Because it has sung in those days. And it might also suit a Nagar Sangirtan session, because it's a simple and it has a power-packed feel also. Like,
yes,
in the second speed, it has a lot of straight standing notes,
yes,
in the high, and it's a medium bhajan.
Yes. I think Shankarabharanam is a raga which everyone is familiar with.
Yeah.
And we have so many bhajans in Shankarabharanam, isn't it?
Yeah, we have plenty of bhajans.
Manamohana Nandalal.
Manamohana Nandalal. Rama Rama Sai Rama. Bhajaman Govinda Gopala.
So let's do the swaras for every line.
Yeah. So let's take the first line.
Hari Sri Ganapati Om. Sa 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 ri ri ga ga ma ga ri sa.
Sa 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 ri ri ga ga ma ga ri sa.
Hari Ganapati Om. Ri ma ga ri ga ri sa sa.
I guess the beat of the bhajan also is the usual 8-beat Kairava Taal, right?
Yeah, it is the Adi Taalam in the Carnatic classical music. And we can have a demonstration with the help of Kanjira. So the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hari Sri Ganapati Om.
Hari Sri
A very beautiful addition to our repertoire of vintage bhajans, and we don't have many Ganesha bhajans, so I think that's a beautiful new bhajan in this list of vintage bhajans. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sai Ram. So we are now done with how to sing this bhajan. Let's now dwell a little more about the words that make the bhajan. Let's go line by line. We begin with the first line.
Hari Sri Ganapati Om.
One meaning of Hari is green. Shri is auspiciousness. It means Sakala Aishwarya, all kinds of wealth, physical and metaphysical. Om. Om is the primordial sound, the sound of creation. It is the very first sound that ever emerged, and the sound that reverberates in every particle of this cosmos. And Ganapati is that primordial deity. He is that Lord Ganesha who is first worship. He is that principle who has to be adored first. Just like Om is the first sound, Ganapati is the first god to be worshipped. No wonder Bhagwan, right from the time Sai Bhajans came into being, always made it a practice that all Sai Bhajans begin with a bhajan for Lord Ganesha. And whenever we pine for him, whenever we pray to him, whenever we ask for him, Lord Ganesha comes to us. There's a very beautiful story of how Brother Sonam Gyamso, who always had the interest to worship Lord Ganesha, was blessed with the presence of Lord Ganesha, who came to him in a very mysterious manner. Here is his story.
You keep getting bonuses from Bhagwan, you know.
Yes.
When you really follow the regimen, and it's happening even today.
Mm.
Wherever there are people who are following his commandment for their own good, and then he keeps manifesting signs of his grace, and these signs are sometimes so tangible. You can almost see it. For me, it happened so many times. In my first year degree, I had a senior there who used to do a lot of Ganapati puja. So I had secretly cherished this desire that, you know, I wish Swami would materialize a Ganapati and give me.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday, you know, Saturdays used to be self-reliance day. So we were cleaning up the hostel. And down there in the basement, so in the basement, we were cleaning up the storeroom. There was a storeroom. We were cleaning it up. Later on, that room became a bakery and so many things, you know. So I was cleaning it up, and there beneath, buried in the debris of so much dust and filth, was a Lord Ganapati.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
and that Ganapati was made of Panchaloha, Panchadhatu.
Wow.
Exactly what I had cherished, what I had wanted. So I got it, and the second thought was that if I lift it from here, it might tantamount to thieving, you know. So maybe I should take permission. But then no one owned it. And it was just lying there in the dust. So I asked my senior, who was my inspiration. He was Yogi Nandakumar. So I asked him, do you think there is a Ganapati? Do you think it's meant for me that I should take it? Because I have been desiring for one. He said, it's for you. There's no doubt about it. Otherwise, it's for the dust. So I said, I better take it, you know. So I took it to my cupboard, washed him. And then after washing him, I wanted to put it on a pedestal. So I got a small katora, a small
ball-like
thing, a stainless steel ball. So I overturned the ball, and it became a pedestal for me. So if you come home to Sikkim, even today I worship my Lord Ganesha on the same pedestal.
Wow.
So I placed the Ganesha on that pedestal, and then I did my first little bit, whatever I knew. I said that Shuklam Vardaram and all that I said. And then right that evening during darshan, Swami called me. And sometimes Swami used to call me Dry Fish, and you know, that was my pet name for Swami. And he called me and said, "How is Ganapati?"
Oh, wow.
And I said, I was stunned, you know. I said, "Ganapati is beautiful, Swami. Worship it." Small, small injunctions, you know. Worship it. Because you have desired for it, then you have to worship. If you desire for God, you have to worship Him. Mm. You know, as simple as that.
He gave it.
He gave it to me.
Now you have to keep up.
Yeah, now you have to keep up. You have to maintain it, you know.
Yeah.
And He taught me Laghu Puja of Lord Ganapati in the later years. In three installments, He taught me, and I do the puja as per His injunction, how He had taught me. That system of doing puja was only meant for me, the easy way out.
Mm.
So I do it very diligently, even today.
So that was Brother Sonam Gyamsu, and how Bhagwan blessed him with the chance to worship Lord Ganesha. Let's move on to the next line.
Hare Ganapati Om.
Hare means, it refers to that Lord who takes away our troubles, who takes away our problems. Srijan joined the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School way back in the early 2000, and he was someone who studied at the lotus feet right from the time he was 5 years old. And I once asked him, when did you make Ganesha your friend? Because he had such an intimate relationship with him. He used to worship the Lord Ganesha in the hostel. And he said, it happened when I was in grade 8. By an inner prompting, I joined the team which performs regular puja and which does the festive decorations to Lord Ganesha in the hostel, and that is how my daily meetings with Ganesha began. And as I started spending with Ganesha, I just felt like telling him everything that had happened during the day. I could feel him listening and responding. And he said, recently something happened because of which my connect with Ganesha actually became even deeper. It was He who saved my life. And then he told the story of how on Krishna Janmashtami day, when all the boys were busy with the pot breaking ceremony in the hostel, Srijan was engaged in decorating the big Ganesha statue in front of the school building, because Ganesh Chaturthi also was round the corner. And he says, there were some lights to be arranged on top of the idol, and I was being helped by another brother. So we placed the 8 feet aluminium ladder and I went up, and the other brother was holding the ladder. However, since the ladder seemed quite steady, my brother let it go and he went in to get some more lights. And suddenly, that ladder shook and it gave way in that few seconds. And to my horror, I fell. I was being hurtled towards the ground from a height of about 8 feet, and I knew it was going to be disastrous, maybe fatal. I was fearing the worst. I know there was nothing I could do, so I just closed my eyes, and immediately I felt something grasping me in midair. Something caught hold of me under my stomach, and this was very firm as well as gentle. And I tried to look at what it was, and there I saw the hand of my Ganesha. That is why it was soft, but it was hard also, because the ankusha, or the elephant gourd that Ganesha always carries in one of his hands, also was there in his hands. The Lord's hand had indeed extended from the statue and caught me in the nick of time. Not only that, after saving me from hitting the ground, Ganesha's hand then lifted me up and put me back on top of the ladder. Oh my God, it was such an overwhelming experience, and it all happened so quickly. It just left me completely stunned. I marveled at Ganesha's love for me. How, like a true friend, He was there for me and gave me a new lease of life. In fact, later I could see the mark of Lord Ganesha's ankusha on my stomach. And later, on the statue too, you could see a slight crack in the hand of Ganesha that extended out to protect me. How can I not have an endearing relationship with this Ganesha? So that is Ganesha for a student of the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School. He is the eternal protector, and that is what is conveyed in this line, Hare Ganapati Om. We move on to the next line.
Vishwadhara Vighna Vinashaka.
Vishwadhara. Vishwa is the world. Vishwadhara means one who protects the world, who sustains the world, who holds the world. Vighna Vinashaka means one who removes Vighna, who destroys our problems. Brother Arvind Balasubramanya had a very beautiful experience when Bhagwan blessed him with an insignia of Lord Ganesha and conveyed through that a very beautiful message of how Lord Ganesha is our eternal protector. Let's listen to him.
You know, it began sometime in June when I was playing badminton.
June 2009.
I was playing badminton and I twisted my foot. It became painful. A swelling came in my foot, in my left foot. And then when I went to the hospital, they said that it's quite a bad injury. Though there's no bone broken, you will need to keep your leg in cast for at least about 4 to 5 weeks for it to heal, because it's a muscle tear. It's quite bad. So we'll be putting a cast. So that was how my leg went into a cast. And that same night, I had a very interesting kind of dream, if I may say so. In the dream, I was trying to show Swami my broken foot and I was trying to win his sympathy. But then Swami was totally avoiding me. He seemed slightly upset also. He didn't want to look at me for some reason. And in the dream, the feeling that came in me was, because I am trying to show my broken foot to Swami, Swami is upset with me. And then I woke up. Now, during those days, on a regular basis, here and there, Swami would interact a bit with me, or Swami would speak to me. And so, it used to be wonderful times. And this dream was like a bad omen for me. I thought that because of my broken foot, I don't want Swami to get upset. And because he had already indicated in the dream that he wasn't interested, or he didn't want to look at my broken foot, I decided that I would hide my foot from him. In fact, I remember I went to the hospital. The cast that had been put up till my knee. I got the cast removed and told them to put a cast only till, you know, somewhere above my ankle, like a sock, so that I can wear my pant over the cast.
So that it's as inconspicuous as possible.
Correct. And you know, I would sit comfortably stretching my leg during darshan till Swami arrived. Once Swami arrives, I sit back cross-legged and hide my cast. So in a physical sense, Swami never came to know that my leg was in cast. And one more reason why he never came to know was, that was a period of about 7-8 days when there were no programs in the mandir.
Yes.
So I didn't have to get up and do photography, because of which Swami physically never got a chance to notice my cast. Then what happened was, one day, as I was walking out of the mandir, Professor Bhagya from the MBA department, I revere him a lot and take his words very seriously, he called me and he told me, out of the blue, he just said, Arvind, I see that your leg is in cast. You know, I feel somebody's evil eye has fallen on you. You know, in India, there's this concept of evil eye. That is, if you're very successful or if something good is happening, when people look at you with jealousy or envy, something bad strikes you so that it neutralizes that otherwise terrible effects of the jealousy and envy. That is a belief. And when he told this to me, I did not take it very seriously. I just thought that out of his good intentions, he's telling me. So I said, thank you, sir. Then he advised me some things. He said, you know, why don't you take some salt water and have a bath in salt water? That will take it away. So I just nodded my head. And as I was going back to my room, I was once again accosted, this time by Vedan Narayan, sir. And he said, Arvind, I just want to tell you something. So I went to him. And can you believe it? He says, Arvind, I think your leg is broken because of somebody's evil eye.
Oh my
and
God.
This was two in a row within 10 minutes. And I felt that this is not a coincidence. I just felt that this was Swami telling me something through another person, because I didn't take the first person seriously. And Vednaran sir said, take some rock salt, put it in water and have bath in that. I thought, oh my God, okay. So I really did that. You know, I went and had put rock salt in water and had bath. And that evening and went to bed. Before going to bed, I got to know that within 2-3 days time, a lot of devotees were arriving for their Parthi Yatra from the East and West Godavari districts. And they had 3 programs scheduled in the mandir, which means that I had to do photography, which I could not do if my leg was in cast. So I remember before going to bed, that night I was in the studio, I sat in front of Swami's picture and I said, Swami, from what message you have sent me, this is not a physical problem. This is a drishti problem, that is an evil eye problem. So it is not a physical problem, so why should I give it a physical solution, which is a cast? 8 days my leg had been in cast. I said, Swami, if you permit, I will go and remove the cast tomorrow. The doctors have said it should be on for 5 weeks. But if it is not a medical problem, why should I give a medical solution? So I put chits in front of Swami's picture. And the chit came as, yes, get it removed. So I decided that next day morning, I would go to the hospital and get the cast removed, because it's not a medical problem, but a drishti problem. That is an evil eye problem. It was just 8 days. And I thought, I will tell the doctor that Swami has told, get it removed. Because for me, the chits were as authentic as Swami telling. So that night I went and slept in the room. Next day morning I got up. And I knew that I had to take bath and go to the hospital to get the cast removed. The first thought that came in my head was, Swami, whatever people may say about evil eye, Swami had given me a chain with locket off his bust in Abhayasta pose. So I held on to that chain and I said, Swami, when you are there with me, how can any evil eye fall on me? That was my thought. And then I got up about to go for bath, and in an instant I heard a snapping sound. My chain had just snapped for no reason and it fell out. It fell onto the floor and I picked it up and I saw the chain had been constituted by many small parts. Each part had 4 holes at one end and 4 flaps at the other end. The 4 flaps go into the 4 holes of the next link, and that's how the whole chain is constituted. I saw that the 4 holes had been crushed and the 4 flaps also had been crushed inside, and the link had got snapped. And I had not done anything. It just got snapped. And I quickly began to think that just a minute ago, I said, Swami, this chain is there. Where can an evil eye touch me? And this chain was my protection against the evil eye, I thought. And even as I had thought that, this protection of mine had just shattered. And that got me really scared. I didn't know what to do. I called up one of my colleagues who knew a good jeweler in Puttaparthi, and I asked him, do you think he will repair this chain for me? He said, yeah, you don't worry. After bhajans, after the morning bhajans, we'll go there. So I thought that first, you know, let me go and get it repaired by the jeweler. And I don't think I'll remove my cast now, because, you know, if Swami's chain cannot protect me from the evil eye because it has got snapped like this, what, I better leave the cast on for a while. But in the meanwhile, I just felt like calling one more colleague, you know, whom Swami used to speak to frequently. I called him and asked him, you know, this is what I'm planning to do, get the chain repaired. He said, Arvind, Swami gave you the chain. So I think you tell Swami only that this happened, what should be done. I had a secret fear, you know, I felt that if Swami says, I've seen Swami asking some people to return back a broken chain or a broken ring, and that's it, they are chainless and ringless. I preferred a broken chain to nothing, so I felt getting it repaired and wearing would be better. Then the brother advised me, he said, you know, you tell Swami this only, you tell Swami, Swami, I want to get it repaired and wear it, and seek Swami's blessings and get it done. I thought that was a good idea. So I called up one more colleague of mine to drop me to the mandir. I hoped Swami would come for morning darshan, because those days darshan was not a sure thing in the morning.
2009.
Yeah. So as I was going to mandir itself, you know, Swami came up for darshan, which meant that by the time I reached mandir, Swami was on the gent side granting darshan. So there was no way I could go and sit. So I went from the back door to the bhajan hall. And just sat in the bhajan hall. That is where you saw me. And you thought that I had come because I had a fracture. But it was not because of my broken leg that I had come. It was because of a broken chain.
Oh my God. You didn't know any of this.
So, and I was feeling very bad. And Swami went into the interview room. That was the time I called up my parents on the phone and I wept. I wept and told them that, you know, my chain is broken. They consoled me. They said, don't worry. You're there. You pray, Swami. Swami will bless you. And I had to cut the call because Swami was coming. And Swami suddenly entered from the interview room into the bhajan hall. And the minute Swami came in, he just looked at me and said, what happened to your leg? What happened to your foot? When Swami asked that question, I remembered the dream where he had told me that I don't, you know, where I felt he had indicated to me that I don't want to see your broken foot. So I wanted to divert the topic. So I somehow got up and went to him and I told him, Swami, forget my foot. Swami, what happened to the chain, Swami? I asked him back. He said, you answer my question. What happened to your foot? Then I said, Swami, I was playing. It's a small sprain, Swami. It'll all be fine. You don't worry. You know, I reassured Swami. And I said, but Swami, what happened to my chain? Swami asked, what happened to your chain? And then he parted my collar to see the chain on my neck. I said, Swami, it is no longer there. Swami asked, what happened? I said, Swami, it's in my pocket. It broke. Today morning, Swami, I was like pleading non-guilty. I said, Swami, I didn't do anything, Swami. I just didn't do anything. It simply broke and it's in my pocket. Swami, if you wish to see, I'll take it out and show you. Because I had seen sometimes Swami would say, hey, don't show in public. So I said, Swami, if you wish to see, I'll show it to you. Swami said, show me. So I took it out in my palm and showed him the broken chain. He saw it. He picked it up. He put it back in my pocket and said, you keep it there. I said, okay. And Swami just turned his attention to another student and started speaking to him. He had somebody who was sick in Assam and Swami was consoling him and giving him, telling him that he will send Vibhuti. He can go visit that person and come back. And I mean, the topic totally changed off. So I was thinking, oh God, now what? Should I carry the chain in my pocket? That was when I thought, I'll get up and ask him, Swami, can I get it repaired and wear it? You know,
that was the original intention.
That's what. So I thought, I'll ask anyway. So even as I got up to ask, Swami turned and said, hey, I will give you a new chain and that will be very strong. And again, he turned back to that boy and continued talking to him. And I sat back. In a few moments, I remembered how, you know, different promises Swami had made to different people. To one of my classmates, Swami said, tomorrow I will give you a pendant. 6 years after that, he had still not got his pendant. You know, so time frames with Swami vary so much. So now I thought, I will ask Swami, Swami, at least till you give me the new chain, I will repair and wear this.
Okay.
I just got up. Swami turned to me and said, you just cannot wait. Don't worry, I will give now. And right in front of my eyes there, he began to wave his hand and out popped another chain and he held it up. You know, in his hands, both his hands, he held it up and I broke down. I was in tears. Swami said, come here. Oh, then that was when the boy behind Swami also said, you come front, because Swami is wanting to put it around your neck. So I moved front, then Swami put it. He put the pendant inside into my shirt and then said, this is strong, it won't break, you don't worry. Then I just had no, I said, Swami, I was just stuttering there. I just didn't know what, this was like some warranty replacement, you know, give the defective good and forget giving back the defective good. I had kept the original chain was also in my pocket. So Swami said, no, don't speak anything. Have love and be happy. Have love and be happy. He patted my cheek and sent me back. And then Swami left. It was after Swami left that I saw that it was a Ganesha, a beautiful Ganesha. And first thing is I called up again my parents and again I was crying. My parents thought something terrible happened. I was crying and saying, Mom, Dad, you know what? Swami came and gave me chain like this. You know, that is what Swami does. You know, you'll be, when he finds you crying, he stops the tears of sorrow and starts tears of joy. I was again crying. I mean, I was crying before, I was crying afterwards. Later on when I came back, I was in cloud nine, I was floating. When I came back to my senses, I saw that this Ganesha is like a Natya Ganesha, is dancing, but Ganesha is standing in the pendant. And when I checked on the internet, even now if you see, there's something called the Drushti Ganesha. A Ganesha who is supposed to ward off the evil eye. And Drushti Ganesha is always standing.
Oh,
okay.
Fantastic.
I saw that and I realized, oh my God. Then as a, you know, as a completion for this incident, the only thing that kept bothering me was, Swami, this means that Drushti affects us. I mean, if you are still there, what about people who have not got chains from you? Why this Drushti? Why is that something, somebody else looking at me can affect me in this manner? You know, even as I was thinking about this, I came across an incident in the life of Sri Paramahamsa Yogananda. It is recorded in his book, Autobiography of a Yogi. And that answered my question and I felt thrilled. In that, his guru Yukteswar Giri tells him, Mukunda, get yourself an astrological amulet and wear it. So he asks, Master, why should I wear it? So Master says, you know, because the planets, they have that influence, they can. So he also gets this question. He says, Master, when you are there, do I need some magical amulet to protect me against the planets? Planets are benign. I don't think they have any malevolent attitude or intentions towards us. Then the guru tells him that, see, the truth is everything is divine, nothing affects anything. But you know, people are lost. They don't make any attempt to discover the truth. If life went on hunky-dory without any problem, nobody will make any attempt at all to find out the truth. But you know, when I tell you that planet will affect you unless you do this, righteous anger comes in, you feel, how can it be possible? And that is what prods you into spirituality and makes you reach a stage where you realize that the planet actually does not affect you in any way, because you and the planet are one. In order to prod you out of your laziness into active spirituality, to discover that truth, that is why all these things are made like that. That is why problems also come in life, because once you go beyond the truth, you know, there's nothing called a problem in life. I have no problems in life. That's what Yukteswar Ghee says, and that's what Swami used to always say. I have no sorrows. I don't know the meaning of anger. I'm always happy. We always wonder, you know, how can Swami be happy? He's having a broken hip, he's having a broken leg, and he has no freedom. He cannot go for a stroll in the garden. So many restrictions. But Swami is always happy. And that is when I realized that all these things that our traditional practices say, you know, the evil eye, protect yourself from this, take to the name of God, all this are meant to ignite you out of your inertia into actively pursuing spirituality, so that what you know in theory, that everything is one and nothing can affect me, becomes a reality too. Where
they are fantastic reminders.
Exactly.
Fantastic reminders to get into that path. And what is most significant is, you know, when Swami gave you that, he patted your cheeks and said, be happy. You know, develop love and be happy. These are all perhaps reminders for us towards that goal, to be always happy.
Even to this day, you know, when some problem comes or something, it is so close to my heart, literally and figuratively, you know,
yes,
this chain.
Yes.
And while I'm having a bath, I just see the chain and it reminds me. It
yes.
reminds me that, you know, all you have to do is have love and be happy.
Happy.
Nothing can affect you.
Yes. Yes.
So this chain is now symbolic of this Drishti Ganesha that Swami has given me.
Yes.
Is Swami's way of reminding me, come what may in your life, have love and be happy.
Have the Drishti of only Swami.
Correct. Correct.
Have the Drishti of only Swami.
When you
because as Swami says, you know, there is no problem with Drishti, it's only with our Drishti. We have the vision of Swami, then world is also beautiful.
Correct. Then nobody's Drishti can affect you.
Affect. Wonderful.
So this was the story.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Arvind. I think this is definitely a very, very revealing incident at many levels. And I think I will leave the listeners to discern for themselves the message that they can get. Because for every person, it can give a different meaning.
And
that's
this
how
is what I have felt.
Yes. And different persons will get their own meaning depending on how Bhagwan guides them. Thank you so much, Arvind.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
So that was Brother Arvind Balasubramanian sharing his story of how Ganesha can protect us from anything that is evil of this world and beyond. Let's move on to the next line.
Veera Ganapati Om.
Veera means courageous. So here we adore Lord Ganesha as the courageous one, as the valorous one. And if you know the story of Lord Ganesha, you know how he fought on his mother's behalf with Lord Shiva, not knowing that Lord Shiva is his father, and that showed the courage, the strength. In fact, Lord Shiva was stunned at the prowess of Ganesha, as the legend goes. So he is Veera Ganapati, who was emboldened by the love of his mother. The love of Mother Parvati gave him all the powers and he became Veera. And that is a very, very powerful lesson. If ever we want to become strong, all we have to do is to love our mother more, is to seek her blessings. It is her blessings that can make us courageous, that will give us all the tenacity to fight the challenges of the world. That is Veera Ganapati Om. The next line is again a repeat of what we have discussed before, Hari Ganapati Om. Finally, we come back again to Veera Ganapati Om.
Hare Ganapati Om. Veera Ganapati Om, Om, Om.
Lord Ganesha's grace will flow into us not when we do his puja with elaborate celebrations and rituals, but it will come to us when we make our lives a celebration of his elaborate love. When we eschew sorrow and befriend joy, we befriend Ganesha. When we forget hurt and befriend service, we befriend Ganesha. When we let go ego and befriend humility, we befriend Ganesha. When we shun pride and befriend gratitude, we befriend Ganesha. And when we have Ganesha, our happiness has no end, because he is our eternal friend. So dear listeners, let's ruminate and be blessed with this opportunity to worship Lord Ganesha, and filled with these sacred thoughts, sing this bhajan once again along with all the students as it is sung in the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir.
Hari Shri Ganapati O, Hari Shri Ganapati O, Hari Shri Ganapati O,
विश्वाधारा विघ्न विनाशक वीरगणपतियो
Sairam, you are listening to an episode of our program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 21st March 2019. This came to you as part of Thursday Live programs of Radio Sai Global Harmony, and it was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishop Rushdie. Dear listeners, we hope you like this program. Please send us your feedback by either email or WhatsApp. Our email ID is listener@radiosai.org, and our WhatsApp number is 9393258258. Thank you, and loving Sairam from Prashanthi Nilayam.